The treacherous waters along the coast of North Carolina are known around the world as the graveyard of the Atlantic. Thousands of ships have run aground on the shifting shoals, from 16th century exploration vessels to German U-boats that sank during World War II. One of the most famous wrecks is that of the infamous pirate Blackbeard. His flagship, the Queen Anne's Revenge, sank in 1718 near Beaufort Inlet. Since its discovery in 1996, artifacts from the site have been recovered and preserved. Last Thursday, divers with the North Carolina Department of Cultural Resources Underwater Archaeology Division brought up a pair of 300-year-old cannons from the site about a mile off Fort Macon. It's a clear, sunny day by the docks at the boathouse at Front Street Village in Beaufort as the crew of the Crystal Coast Lady prepare for our trip to the wreck site. We won't actually be involved in the recovery, but we'd be watching from a safe distance. An attempt to raise the cannons was made June 12th, but was called off due to low water visibility and unfavorable weather conditions, but today's forecast looks promising. After a briefing on the history of Blackbeard, approximately 80 people, including Department of Cultural Resources staff, Queen Anne's Revenge experts, members of the Friends of Queen Anne's Revenge, and guests, started boarding the waiting vessel.
Good morning, welcome aboard. We ask everyone to please be cautious as you move around the vessel, especially when going through the lower and upper deck.
We made our way down Taylor's Creek along the Beaufort waterfront, past Radio Island, before making a left and heading through Beaufort Inlet. Along the way, retired underwater archaeologist and our guide for today's trip, Mark Wild Ramsing, points out a dredging platform just a couple hundred yards off the port side.
Here they are dredging as hard as they can, continuing to dredge and keep this channel open. So back in the old days, you didn't have any of that marked channel, no buoys, no nothing. We are heading out the inlet. We'll go straight out a ways. Ahead of us is the Dan Moore. You'll sort of see it about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock on the vessel's starboard side here.
The Dan Moore is assisting in the cannon recovery. The 85-foot ocean-going research vessel belongs to Cape Fear Community College. It's almost 50 years old and has made over 400 research trips.
Okay, everybody, we are now getting close to the site. You can see the recovery vessel, the Dan Moore. It's the big trawler. This is its last voyage before it's going to be mothballed, and this will be actually the biggest, most ambitious lift, trying to raise 3 cannons.
Since the site of the Queen Anne's Revenge is only about a mile off the coast, the shoreline can easily be seen. As we move into position parallel to the vessel Dan Moore, the American flag flying above Fort Macon is just barely visible off our bow. Directly above the wreck site, another smaller barge-like vessel named Jones Bay is anchored.
The Jones Bay came out. They got up at 4 a.m. They came out at the first sign of light and started excavating. The problem with the way the weather's been, every time they get it ready to go, if another good storm from the southwest comes along, it covers up what they've done. So they had to excavate these cannons. They're already strapped up. They'll be strapped up with big canvas straps or ropes, and you'll see that. Jones Bay, this is Crystal Coast Lady, over.
This is Jones Bay, go ahead.
How's it going over there?
They're about to lift the cannon. They're inflating the bag now.
To bring the cannon to the surface, divers attach a lift bag to the canvas strap secured around the cannon. The water is only about 25 feet deep at the wreck site, so it doesn't take long for the cannon to float to the surface.
Momentarily, you should see a yellow lift bag come up, or these much bigger than the little buoys you see there, come up right behind the vessel, the Jones Bay, the smaller vessel.
About 5 minutes pass, and then the yellow lift bag breaks the surface of the water.
All right, there it is. So we passed the first stage. Now the second is to get the bag and the divers over to the Dan Moore.
Dan, well, go ahead and haul in the cannon, haul in the lift bag, over, haul it in.
On the deck of the Dan Moore, a team of students with Cape Fear Community College's Marine Technology Program began tugging at a red rope connected to the cannon and the divers about 150 feet away. Onlookers watched nervously as the divers are tossed around by the wind and waves. Then, a troubling message comes over the radio.
Dan Moore, it looks like they're wrapped around that mooring. Over.
I don't know if you heard that, but what's happened now is that the cannon is hooked around one of the mooring lines, so as the Dan Moore tries to pull it, it's not pulling. So now the divers have gone back down to try to release that.
Another tense 5 minutes pass, and finally the red rope is free from the mooring line. The lift bag, cannon, and divers continue to be hauled in until they're floating beside the Dan Moore. This is where the third phase of the lifting process begins. The expert divers with the Department of Cultural Resources Underwater Archaeology Division work quickly to connect the vessel's crane hook to the canvas strap around the cannon. Then the signal is given to lift the cannon from the water.
All right, so now they're hooked to the cannon. The ladder bags have been moved off a little bit, and we should see Blackbeard's big 6-pounder cannon coming up. They weigh about 2,500 pounds, over a ton of metal and some concretion.
We watch and wait several more minutes as the crane reels it in, and for the first time in almost 300 years, the cannon breaks the surface of the water.
There it is.
Oh my God.
I'd love to see it come out of the water, but I don't cheer until it gets down on the deck.
Even though the 3-century-old artifact is covered in concretion, it's very easy to tell that it's a cannon. As it's slowly lifted out of the water, the crew aboard the Dan Moore lean over the side of the boat to stabilize the cannon and keep it from swaying. Other crew members set up a cinder block and 2x4 platform for the cannon to rest on. Then, it's gently lowered as onlookers watch intently.
Yeah, a big round of applause. Let them know. They can't hear you.
The Department of Cultural Resources Underwater Archaeology Division had a goal of lifting 3 cannons during last Thursday's offshore excursion. However, they were only able to lift 2. As the divers and underwater archaeology team celebrate their successful lift, Queen Anne's Revenge Conservation Lab Director and Chief Conservator Sarah Watkins Kenny's work is just beginning. She says the cannons will be taken to the Queen Anne's Revenge Lab at East Carolina University in Greenville, where they'll remove the concretion and prepare them for exhibition.
These things have been in the ocean for 300 years. We want to do as little as possible to disturb that environment they've been in, because we can, if they dry out before we treat them, then that can get chemical and physical changes that could damage the object. So we want to prevent that happening. So we keep everything wet and then get it into tanks. Then it's safe. And then we can take a deep breath, and then we figure out next what we do next with it, which will be eventually cleaning, eventually getting all the salts out, drying them, surface finishing them, and then finally they'll go to the museum for display.
So far, about 280,000 items, including the ship's bell, straight pins, gold flakes, lead shot, bottles, and guns, have been recovered from the wreck. One of the 3,000-pound anchors, more than 11 feet long and 7 feet across, was brought up in 2011. It's currently soaking in a huge vat at the Queen Anne's Revenge Lab, where it will stay for a few more years. The conservation of artifacts from the wreck site has been ongoing for 16 years. In order to keep the program going, Chief Deputy Secretary with the Department of Cultural Resources, Karen Cochran, says they've had to shift funding sources.
Years ago, when this first was discovered, the state was heavily involved in funding. But over time, as you can imagine, the funding to support something of this endeavor is always going to need some private support. And so this is a partnership like we have in a lot of our areas within the Department of Cultural Resources, that we have a partnership with private supporters and public funding to make some things like this happen.
The Friends of the Queen Anne's Revenge is a private, not-for-profit group that supports the work of the state of North Carolina on the recovery of the wreck of Blackbeard's flagship. Richard Lawrence is president of the Friends of Queen Anne's Revenge and the former deputy state underwater archaeologist for the Department of Cultural Resources. He says the site and the artifacts are part of North Carolina history and need to be preserved.
If you were to ask a person to identify or name a pirate, the average person on the street, probably the first one to come to mind would be Blackbeard. And the fact that we have Blackbeard's flagship just a mile off our North Carolina coast, it's just an incredible opportunity for us.
If you want to learn more about Blackbeard and his ties to North Carolina, you can view artifacts from the Queen Anne's Revenge at the North Carolina Maritime Museum in Beaufort. There is also a model of the underwater wreck site and the ship's bell. To see pictures from last week's cannon raising, visit our website, publicradioeast.org. I'm Jared Brumbaugh.